We'll ask Moses and Phoebe, a basutor who's well acquainted with catering in towns, to tell us how an average native labourer sets about getting a meal in town.
This is, and perhaps only place, where a bunch man can get a meal at any time of the day between 6 in the morning and 6 in the evening, and at the same time get his favourite ujjala, is at Majeni Victoria Street. The place can hardly be called a hotel, restaurant, or even an eating house. It is more or less a great Bantu catering pavilion in a Bantu market, for Majeni includes many non-food business stalls where the Bantu ply all kinds of trade and business, for example, barbers and karos sellers. Majeni itself consists of rows of long tables with sufficient space between to allow a person to pass through. On each table stand large basins piled high with beans, rice, madumbi, semp, madombolo, sweet potatoes, tripe, meat, and fat kubis. Next to this department is the beer hall, also provides with many long tables. The beer hall is for men only, and is opened at certain hours of the day. In the food section, each table is under the supervision of an individual who pays 1 shilling rent every morning to the municipality. Each table owner has under him 2 or 3 waiters, 1 or 2 cooks, and tries to capture as many customers as he can manage. Let us imagine a man from the country having arrived in the city. He finds work and discovers he has no time to prepare his own meals because he rises early and returns late. Therefore, each day, tired, hungry, and thirsty, he resorts to Majeni to feed himself. Arrived there, he is told a plate of food costs sixpence, and that the various dishes of food are served separate and never mixed, so that he can have only one kind of food at a time. What comes into his mind immediately is how to kill 2 birds with 1 stone, to save as much as he can of his wages, and at the same time feed himself. He tries to get the cheapest meal with the most staying power. He chooses either bread, which is cheap, preferably white bread, or porridge or semp, which holds longer in the belly. Majeni does not provide him with greens, fruit, and other essential food. Fortunately, however, he has his beer. Besides Majeni, there are other licensed Bantu restaurants run by private enterprise. These are managed on a more modern basis and cater for the town community.
And now the expert again. In recent years, a great number of South Africans have been talking about malnutrition and balanced diets among both European and native communities. It's a vast and complicated subject, as you know. But here, in a very few words, is the opinion of a professional dietitian on the requirements of native diet locally.
In recent years, our knowledge of human food requirements has increased enormously, and we no longer consider that so long as we have enough to eat, we are adequately fed. This applies to the native just as much as to the European, and he is quite as likely as anyone to develop food deficiency diseases, such as scurvy and rickets, if he receives an inadequate or badly balanced diet. In a well-balanced diet, we need, first, a staple cereal, which for the natives of the Union is usually mealie meal, mealies and their products. This provides the energy with which to live and work, but man cannot live on bread alone has been shown to be only too true. We need as well food to build and keep our bodies in repair. And this we find in the animal foods, meat, fish and dairy products, milk, cheese and eggs. Then we need fruit and vegetables, and again dairy products, to help protect us from disease and to provide us with the vitamins which have been shown to be essential to good health and well-being. Therefore, in a well-balanced diet, we need cereals like mealie meal and wheat, animal foods, meat, fish, milk, cheese and eggs, and fruit and vegetables. The average native living in the town gets an adequate supply of cereals only. He does not get enough dairy products or fruit and vegetables to keep him in an optimum state of health. whilst the rural native may, in times of good harvest, fare a little better, as he can pick wild fruits and vegetables. But in times of bad harvest, he will be worse off, as he will not even have enough cereals to appease his hunger until the next harvest.
Browsing through an old book on Africa the other day, I discovered that pet baboons kept by certain natives can make themselves very useful in times of famine. You know, when hard times come, everyone, men, women and children, scour the countryside for everything edible, roots, beans, fruits, ants, anything. Here is the extract.
Many Kaffirs keep tame baboons which they have captured when very young. These animals are very useful to the Kaffirs, for if they come upon a plant or fruit which they do not know, they offer it to the baboon, and if he eats it, they know that it is suitable for human consumption.
They apparently would walk around with a baboon tied round the waist with a cord, and when the baboon smelt edible roots, he'd begin to dig and show them where they were. A very good idea. Now here's a story, a short one, of a man who tried to keep the discovery of a wild fruit tree secret instead of sharing it with his children. This was told me by natives in the Gutu district of southern Rhodesia. One time, there was a famine, and a man, his wife, and children lived in a certain village, had not enough to eat. Now, the man used to go every day over to the chief's lands to work for the chief. And it was the habit of the chief to provide beer for his workers. Well, beer was very nourishing. Now, on the way over one day, he discovered a wild fruit tree full of ripe fruit. And he thought he would keep this for himself. He was delighted. And so he composed a little song about the mother of fruits. He called it Muzangwaringana, the mother of fruits. And he went up to this fruit tree and sang, Mayo muzungu muzangwaringana, yoe kan muzangwaringana, Mayo muzungu muzangwaringana, yoe kan muzangwaringana. And then he hit his head on the trunk of the tree, boo, and all the fruit fell down rikiti. And his song went on, boo, rikiti muzangwaringana, yoe kan muzangwaringana, boo, rikiti muzangwaringana, yoe kan muzangwaringana. Then, of course, he'd pick up the fruit that had fallen down, eat it, and go on to his work. And the same thing would happen on his way back home. Well, when he got home, his wife offered him some food, and he said, oh, no, you give my share to the children. The beer that I get over at the chief's land is quite enough for me. Well, she didn't believe him. But anyway, he went over to the man, to the chief's lands again next day and went up to his tree. And went on to work. Same thing happened again the next day and the next day. And after a few days, his wife looked at him with a cold stare. And when he came out with the same answer, she said, Nemadzako, which means you liar. Anyway, that night she told her eldest small son to follow his father and see what he did. So at a discreet distance, the son followed his father the next morning and watched him go up to the tree and sing his little song, collect the fruit and go on. So he rushed back to his mother and he told her all about it. So she collected all the baskets she could and all her children, and they went out to the tree and took all the fruit off. Then in the place of the fruit, they tied up heavy stones with string, with bark string. So when the old man came back that evening, he went gloriously happy to his tree for another feed, and up he came to the tree. Mayo muzungu muzangwaringana, yoe kan muzangwaringana. Mayo muzungu muzangwaringana, yoe kan muzangwaringana. Boo! And down fell the stones on his head. Yowei, yowei, yowei. And he was badly, very badly bruised. But when he looked at himself, he saw that somebody had played a game on him. And he didn't know how to approach his wife, so he said, I know what I'll do. I'll tear my clothes a bit and say the chief has beaten me up in a fight. So he went home and put this story across, but his wife again had that cold look in her eye. And she told him, it's no use telling me stories like that. You are a very selfish man indeed. And now I'm going to leave you. And so she packed up all she had and took her children and went home to her mother, leaving him lamenting without home or family. And that was the end of that little story. You know, our old expression, which is intended to convey a sense of luxury, having jam on it, well, in the African world, jam is almost unknown, and their equivalent is having meat on it. Meat is the great treat to most Africans, regular meat. Often it's just a feast when a beast is killed for some special festival. And thereafter, not only are there meatless days, but meatless months.